soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Blessings. Go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. This scripture has been, well, haunting me lately. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You know, I looked up mercy today in the dictionary, and it means an act of divine compassion. And I looked up compassion, and it means a desire to alleviate distress or suffering. And so mercy is an act of divine compassion to alleviate distress or suffering. And this is Christ speaking. This is the Christ of your being speaking to your outer self, saying, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And so this scripture started the ball rolling for me, and I've been living with it for, well, all day today and some yesterday. Sacrifice means an offering to God of something that's precious. All of this belief in sacrifice, it really permeates our, well, it permeates our daily living. Here in the Western Hemisphere, those of us that have been raised with an Christian environment have fallen under the spell, really, of the belief in the need for sacrifice. The more I look at this, the more I see it almost everywhere. And this belief in the need for sacrifice is all tied up in the Old Testament, in the law. It's really a part of the second chapter of Genesis. It's really a part of a false creation. But let's look at some of the ways that it affects our daily living. Oh, and by the way, grace means an unmerited divine assistance of regeneration or healing. And so the law was given by Moses and the belief in sacrifice, but grace came from Christ Jesus, mercy, or an act of divine compassion. So some of the ways that it affects our lives are so subtle that we don't even notice it. How about the belief that the reason why I have this difficulty in my life, whether a physical problem or a lack or limitation or loneliness, I have no companion. Well, the reason why I have this difficulty is because God is testing my faith. I have always had a problem with that. Always. Even as a child, I could not accept that concept of God. God is testing me. It doesn't even make sense. It's insane when you look at it closely. God is omniscient. All knowledge. God knew you before you were in the womb, it says. And even after the end of the world, I am with thee, it says. God knows everything there ever was to know about you. Furthermore, since God is too pure to behold iniquity, God knows you as you really are, made in His image and likeness, perfect as your Father. Now, if God, or rather, because God looks at you and sees perfection, who would He need to test? What would He need to test? And how would He go about testing when He already knows the outcome? It doesn't even make sense, this concept. And yet, it's the concept that was handed to us from the Hebrews, mixed in with Christianity, and woven into our churches today. And we are taught this as little children. How many times, really, in your own mind, have you stopped and said, well, okay, God, you know, take this when you know I'm ready to. I mean, who are you talking to? There's no such God as that. God's not testing you. God has never tested anyone at any time. Do you really believe that God told Abraham, was it, to put his son on the altar and sacrifice him because he wanted to test his faith? That's a monster. That's an ogre. That's not God. That's the Old Testament idea of Lord God. And Lord God is the mind. And the mind is, the world mind, most definitely is, a monster. I looked up ogre, too, while I was at it. And it says it's a god of the underworld. And that seemed appropriate to me. That's what the world mind is, a god of the underworld. I like that. I like that. So, these are some of the beliefs that we have to cast out. We cannot have the experience that Joel Goldsmith is always referring to, the God experience, if we carry into our meditation our belief in a God that tests us. Christ wiped that out. He wiped it out for all time. If you have the ears to hear, I will, it's His will, have mercy and not sacrifice. We think about the story He told us of the prodigal son. Now, when that son was halfway home, did the father say, I need you to go back into the back 40 and take care of that piece of property, and if you do a decent job, you might be able to move back into the house? Did he? No, you know better. This is my son. He was lost and now is found. Oh, let's have a celebration. Never at any time did he test the prodigal son or make him earn his way back. These are all the ideas of the old Hebrew men sitting around with long gray beards trying to control the masses. Now, there's some beautiful things coming from the Jewish heritage, so please don't think that I'm against that, because I'm not. I met some fine, fine Jewish people in my lifetime. But this concept of God is an erroneous one, and it must be dissolved if you're going to come into meditation and have an experience of the real God. So that's one way that we believe we need to sacrifice. How about tithing? We are told repeatedly that tithing is a wonderful principle, to pour out into the universe that which you have, to watch in the wondrous ways that the universe pours it right back as fast as you can pour it out is fantastic. But to tithe because you expect God to reward you goes back to living under the Lord God. You see, we're all involved in waking up out of the second chapter of Genesis. And it was the Lord God, the mind, the world mind, that invented all this stuff, including these concepts of God. So, please, if you catch yourself thinking that God is testing you, or life is testing you, or you're just being tested, stop yourself right there and laugh at the idea. It won't dissolve by fighting it, but it will dissolve by laughing at it. You take its power out of it. What a silly idea that God needs to test me, who he knows backwards and forwards and through. He would know what the result was going to be before I even started at the starting line. That's silly. That's really insanity. The insanity of the Lord God. A part of that false creation. Now, we have the belief that we need to earn our living by the sweat of our brow. That's our belief. And yet here it is clear as a bell. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Do you mean to tell me that this whole concept that we have, that we grow up and get a good education and work and strive and save and sacrifice in order to get ahead, in order to make a living, in order to retire, is an erroneous belief? Yes, indeed. I mean to tell you just exactly that. That's the wrong concept. That, again, is a belief that you have to sacrifice in order to have abundant living. But what is the scripture? The same eye that says he will have mercy says, I am come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Now, where does he add on that you may have life more abundantly after you have sacrificed and saved and struggled and sweat and bled and cried and made yourself a success? Don't you see? It's another false belief created by the world mind. Don't you see also that we get here already self-complete? That which you have been looking for, you're looking with. All the supply that you ever wanted, multiplied end over end, is within you. It's no different than the spider spinning its web from within. Or the caterpillar spinning its cocoon. Or the flower appearing on my bush, my rose bush outside, from within that bush. Or the tomatoes and broccoli and green beans and cucumbers and peppers and potatoes and onions and cauliflower that is appearing in my garden even as I speak. all coming from some invisible plane, some invisible dimension, from the inner side to the outside. And so you, being one with the Father, all that the Father has is yours, is yours, is yours, is. But it's hidden from view. As long as you have the belief that you have to go out there and make it happen, you have to go out there and make a living, well, it'll be a little bit like going to the store and buying two or three tomatoes and hanging them on my plants. No, no, no. No sacrifice, no sweat, no blood, no tears. Once you overcome that belief and you start believing the scripture, I will have mercy, I have come that you might have life abundant, then you'll go within to contact this I within you and let it flow from within out. Only then you will understand that grace is that which provides for you. Now we have examples of this in our society. We call them child prodigies. Mozart, able to play the harpsichord or the organ at 5 years old. Wow, how can he do this? It is because he has contacted within his being the supply that's available for him. Each of us carries our own fulfillment within. You carry it. You are it. But all these years we were living by the rules we were taught by a society that believes in sacrifice and doesn't know the first thing about mercy or grace or an unmerited divine assistance of regeneration or an act of divine compassion. And so they think they have to do it themselves. This is a lie. It's the Lord God. We have to come out and be separate. We have to come out of the first chapter of Genesis and begin to experience, we have to come out of the second chapter of Genesis and begin to experience the first chapter. That where God created everything and looked upon it and called it good or perfect. This is who you are, but you have to demonstrate it. You have to realize it. You have to live by it. You have to live it until it begins living you. It becomes your conscious awareness 24 hours a day. This is called spiritual awakening. Now, back to this, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. The belief in the need for sacrifice blocks the operation of grace in our individual experience. Because we go into meditation and we think we have to, well, that's another place it enters, this belief. You see how this belief can color our whole lives and keep God out as an experience? We carry it into our meditation and we believe that we have to say the right words. Well, let me see. What are the words that I have to say? Oh, yes. This is an illusion and it's not really here. And what else was it? God is the only presence. God is the only presence. And God is the only presence. Now, God, you take over. So, what I am doing is I am trying to influence God. You see how it colors our meditation? We believe if we sacrifice, if we pray just right, say the right words, hold the right thoughts, we can get God to release some of that supply he's holding on to, or some of that health, some of those good things. I want some of those, so I'll sacrifice my time and effort, and I'll go within here, and I'll say the right words, and think the right thoughts, and voila, and nothing happens. Because there is no such God. You do not have to say the right words or think the right thoughts. No, you don't. You do have to make contact. What that means is you do have to have an inner communion with that presence. And you can't have that inner communion if you're trying to bargain with God. I apologize if my stomach is growling. My wife made a fantastic Independence Day meal, homemade bread included, and I rather enjoyed it. And I didn't earn it or sacrifice at all. She made it out of love, and I enjoyed it out of love. Now, so, it's not a matter of saying the right words or holding the right thoughts. That's why Joel's trying to get us to go beyond words and thoughts. Do you know that it's possible to just close your eyes, have no words and thoughts, and feel that presence? And do you know that that is what real prayer is? So, even in our prayer and meditation, we can't even pray correctly as long as we think that there's a God that if we just stand on our head and point to the east and say certain words three times, we can influence God. We can sacrifice just right. No, I will have mercy, says Christ, says God. I will have mercy and not sacrificed. No, there is no perfect right way to hold your mind or pronounce the right words which will release God's grace. The fact is that God is grace. It's you that must go within and make that contact. It's not that God then releases his grace. No, you have the wrong idea if you see it that way. It's this way. You, your awareness, your conscious awareness is what determines your experience. If you are walking around with the conscious awareness that you have to sacrifice in order to get ahead, then that will be your conscious awareness. That's exactly what you will experience. If you believe that life is testing you, and you have this problem, and you're going to have it until you have proved this and that, well, that's your conscious awareness, and that's going to be your experience. If, on the other hand, you have gotten to the place where you are out or overcoming this world, this belief in sacrifice, the need for sacrifice, then you are able to go within your temple and have the conscious awareness, the communion of that inner grace. And because you have a conscious awareness of grace, guess what you experience? Grace. You experience mercy. You begin to see grace has been with you since the foundation of the world. Only you weren't aware of it. So what has changed? Grace? No. What has changed is your conscious awareness. That's why we are hammering this home again and again. It must be a conscious awareness. And you can't have the conscious awareness of grace if you're believing that God requires sacrifice. You see, there is no such God. One of the things I heard on a tape the other day was Joel said, the fear of God's punishment, which is the same as God's testing, is one of the most common diseases on earth. We have been suffering this belief handed down generation after generation since, well, for thousands and thousands of years. Don't you want to wake up? Are you willing to step out on the water and see that you can step out on the water right now? It doesn't require 15 years of training and 3 degrees and a special board and committee to appoint you. Do you believe it when God says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly? Do you believe it when Christ says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, and it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Now, where does that say you have to struggle? Well, that's another belief, isn't it? I can experience God if I study for 40 years. I'm sure that by the time I reach my 41st year, I will have the God experience. That's not true. That's another belief in sacrifice. And it's wrong, I tell you. It's wrong. You can experience God's grace right now, this second, if you turn within and let it flow. If you have a conscious awareness of it. Over and over in the New Testament, we are shown by Jesus, by Christ Jesus, how this thing works. Three of the most famous are Mary Magdalene, standing there. Now, here was an adulteress. I don't know if she was a prostitute, but she was caught. They caught her having sex with someone in the very act. And they're ready to pick up stones and stone her to death. They probably felt like they needed to sacrifice her so that Lord God wouldn't come down and punish their community. Such is the belief in sacrifice. Yet, here is this Christ presence. And it says, whoever has never made a mistake, go ahead and throw the first stone. And of course, everybody leaves because they're guilty. There she is standing there. Well, where are your accusers, woman? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He totally sets her free. Now, this was not a movie. This is not a story. This is an experience. Can you imagine having this experience? Well, you are having this experience. Don't you understand? That's what today's talk is. You're Mary Magdalene. You're standing there thinking you have to do this and that and that and this before you're forgiven, before you can experience grace. Will you stop that? Stop it. I, Christ, stand before you and I tell you, you are forgiven. Today. To the thief, today you shall be with me in paradise. Turn ye and live today. No more price, no more penalty. That was all a belief in the second chapter of Genesis under the Lord God. And it was a belief only. Oh, thank goodness. Now, wake up. The nightmare's over. No penalty. What about Thomas? Oh, I won't believe unless I stick my finger in. Thomas, come here. Stick your finger in there. You believe now? Good. Now that's resolved. There's no condemnation. Where did you ever see Christ approach someone and condemn them? Now, I'm not talking about the people he felt were teaching these erroneous beliefs, such as the scribes or Pharisees or Sadducees or whoever it was that he was not happy with. But I'm talking about regular people that are trying to develop a relationship with God. When did he condemn one of those? Never. Never, never. Even the people that hung him on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the ultimate, isn't it? How many seconds did he spend in wanting them punished or wanting them to sacrifice? How many? None. Zero. This is God walking around in human form, or appearing to the people in human form. That's what Christ is, the presence of God. And Christ Jesus was the presence of God appearing as a man. And Christ Buddha was the presence of God appearing as Siddhartha. Christ Krishna was appearing as, I don't know his first name, the dancer. The point is, God itself spent 0 seconds requiring sacrifice. And so you, who are Mary Magdalene, think that you need to be stoned, or you need to pay some kind of price. I mean, you were caught in the very act. Well, this is what they've taught you. You are being told, let it go. It was a belief. It's not your belief. It's almost as old as the world. It was created by world mind. There is never at any time, anywhere, ever a requirement of sacrifice. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So if you are following Christ, if you are following God, God is telling you that His will is mercy. And mercy is an act of divine compassion. Compassion is a desire to alleviate your suffering. So His will for you, God's will, is to alleviate your suffering. God's will is to reveal that you have abundance. God's will is to reveal that God's life is your life. God is the health of your countenance. God's will is to reveal to you omnipresence. You are never alone. One life with many faces. You are never alone. You always have companionship. Now, there's one other aspect of mercy that you might want to think about, and that is this. You can't expect to go within and receive that mercy, that divine compassion, or the abundance, or the life, or the companionship, unless you give mercy. And here's what that means. And I know that you're not probably going to like this. You know how we are told that before we come into our meditation, we must first be reconciled to our brother and then come and offer our gift? Well, I have told you the secret, and the secret is to go within and have that communion. But I have told you that you cannot have that communion as long as you believe in sacrifice or believe that you have to influence God. Once you've overcome that, and you know that God is love, God is love, and it's His good pleasure to give you the entire kingdom, an infinity of supply, an eternality of life, an omnipresence of companionship. Once you understand that that's what God is ready to give you, well, then you're halfway there. But there's another part. You can't go within looking for God's mercy, God's grace, and at the same time still be demanding sacrifice from your brother or sister. Oopsie. Yeah. And so you have to practice something. And that something, it has been given to us. It's called impersonalizing. You no longer have the right to demand sacrifice from anyone you look upon. Anyone. It means you can no longer see evil, sickness, sin in or as any person on the face of the earth. It means you have to take the mistake, the sin, the evil, the sickness, the lack, the limitation out of the individual while you're looking at them. Take the judgment away. What you pour out, you get. So if you learn to impersonalize and pour this mercy out, that's what you'll receive. So, take it out of the individual. No more personalizing. No more demanding, well, you know, I want that person to say they're sorry. What they did is the wrong thing. Well, maybe they did do the wrong thing. Yet you're asking God to wipe out your past and begin living its grace through you. You can't have it one way for yourself and leave your brother out or your sister out. You've got to be able to look at that person over there and say, and you know what? Let your grace also flow to them. I don't hold them responsible. This is a part of that Lord God again. This is part of that mind creation, second chapter of Genesis. I'm not holding any individual responsible. God is the nature of individual being. And so this then is part of that world mind that's also trying to hypnotize me into believing that I have to sacrifice. No, I don't have to sacrifice. You don't have to sacrifice. It's forgiven. 70 times 7. You see why he told you to forgive 70 times 7? It wasn't for the other fellow over there. It was so that you could experience divine grace, so that you could experience mercy. Do you see? You set yourself free. So, you must find a way to impersonalize these things that you see. Take them out of the individual, realize they're impersonal, belonging to no one, and God never created them, and they're nothing. Do that as you're walking around. But also, if you're watching TV and you see a horrible dictator on the other side of the earth, somebody that's torturing people and cutting off heads and hands and this, that, and the other, you must look there too and see. This is not an individual sin. This is not an individual evil. It does not belong to any person. This is that world mind showing me a picture again, trying to get me to believe that they need to sacrifice, that I need to sacrifice. And it is the very belief that keeps me from having this inner communion with God. And I do not accept you. Now, Joel says that this is hard work for a year or two. What of it? Are you going someplace? You have someplace to be? No? Well, then let's get to work. And I'm right here working with you. So, once you have done that, you are going to be able to close your eyes and have almost an instantaneous communion with grace. You're going to experience mercy on a continuous basis. You're going to experience continuous acts of divine compassion. You're going to continue to experience unmerited divine assistance of regeneration or healing. Isn't that what Joel showed us? He did it. He experienced continuous unmerited divine assistance of regeneration. We saw it. He experienced continuous acts of divine compassion, alleviated others' distress. Now that's Christ. Now, one more thought on this. First, to wrap up that part, I want to say, there is no testing. You are not being tested by God. You do not have to have any problem ever until you've seen the light. You do not have to have a problem until you learn something. Oh, I guess I have this problem because I'm supposed to learn something. Oh, baloney. That's just wrong. It's wrong. That's the world mind. The second chapter of Genesis. No, no, no. And I don't care what it says elsewhere. I'm talking about what was revealed to me today. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You do not have this problem because you're supposed to learn something. But when you rise higher and you have learned how to commune, the problem will leave. The problem's not there to help you learn. But in your learning, it will dissolve. You see that? So, you can use it as an opportunity to spur you on to learn these principles, but it's not there to teach you something. That's, again, the belief in sacrifice and testing, and I don't like it. Who can trust a God like that? He may whip cancer on me tomorrow. How absurd is that? Is that not absurd? Isn't that how our society thinks? Don't you get tired of hearing it? Who can believe in a God? Who can love a God like that? God gave me cancer so that I might learn. God paralyzed me so that I might learn. Well, God gave me blindness so that I might learn. Oh, phooey. Phooey. These things came because you did not understand the principles and weren't applying them. However, you can learn the principles and apply them and overcome these things. Let's not blame God. It's right here in black and white. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Now, take this next step. Because as I was looking at all this, it suddenly came very forceful to me. Who is this speaking? This was Christ speaking for God. This was the presence of God speaking, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And now I need to tell you something. There is no outside Christ. Now let that sink in. There is no outside Christ. Christ did not exist on earth over 2,000 years ago and disappear in the great invisible somewhere. And if you're really good and you sacrifice, you can experience Christ. No. No, 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 no. There is no outside Christ. There's no Christ out there. There's no Christ up in the sky, or Christ in another dimension, or Christ in another person, Christ in another being. This I have from divine revelation, or this I have because I went within and I received grace and unmerited divine assistance. And it came in this form. I heard, the only Christ is your very own consciousness. That's the only Christ. Let that sink in. Christ is your very own consciousness. Do you have to sacrifice in order to go within and think about something? Do you have to struggle and strive and sweat and pray and everything to go within and try to write down a grocery list? Or go within and remember what you have to do around the house today? No, it's as natural as breathing. And so now know that you do not have to pray or commune with a Christ somewhere out there in outer space. You do not have to reach and struggle and strive and try to stretch up to reach God in another dimension. Your consciousness is Christ. When you no longer have these beliefs in sacrifice, you wake up to discover mercy and grace is your consciousness. You actually come into the awareness that your consciousness is Christ. Closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, your very own consciousness is the presence of God. Listen to me. Your consciousness is the presence of God. Your consciousness is the Father. You experience your Christ consciousness when and as these beliefs are let go of. You actually wake up to the conscious awareness that your consciousness is Christ. Always was. You couldn't see it, you couldn't feel it, you couldn't commune with it because you had all these beliefs foisted upon you from the world belief system. The second chapter of Genesis. You come to awaken to the fact that you are living in the first chapter of Genesis. That is to say, you are living, standing in your very own Christ consciousness. But to become aware of it, you have to overcome, let go of these false beliefs in sacrifice. Says your consciousness to you, I will have mercy. I will give you grace. I will give it to you. You are forgiven completely right now. You are white as snow. No more sacrifice, no more testing. Only come within here and commune with me. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. It is my good pleasure to shower you with blessings. Not tomorrow, not after you've paid some dues, not after you've become an expert. But no, right now, today, in this moment, that you set aside these old beliefs, that you're reconciled with your brother and sister, that you come within here in peace, only to commune with my presence, your Christ consciousness. And in the quietness and gentleness, I pour my presence into you. And it appears out here as every good and perfect gift. God is love. Christ is love. We saw that. Your consciousness is that God love. And it awaits only your recognition. It is your awareness of it that becomes your experience. And so you are consciously changing your own inner awareness. You are consciously letting go of the belief in sacrifice. Oh, my friends, so many thousands of years we have labored under this belief. Let's let it go. Let's let it go. No more sacrifice. I come to give you life abundant. Consciously come in and accept my gift. The gift of your own Christ consciousness. The gift of God's love flowing as your Christ consciousness and appearing as every perfect gift. And so, I within you, if you would know me, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. This is the real independence. This being Independence Day in North America, in the United States, where I currently dwell, this is the real independence. Because you see, this will make you completely 100% independent from the law. You will be free in Christ. You will live by grace. Let's read this thing from The Infinite Way one more time, this little passage. I know we've all seen it a lot, but I think it applies here. What we are talking about is coming into the conscious awareness that your consciousness is the light onto your world, and that you do not have to sacrifice. But in your dawning, in the dawning of this light, well, the whole world will be lit up. And so this says, illumination, and that's what we're talking about, illumination dissolves all material ties. See, it dissolves all these beliefs. And binds men together with the golden chains of spiritual understanding. Yes, because now you understand, everyone has within themselves this grace, if they only knew it. And you know it for them. It acknowledges only the leadership of the Christ. And so illumination acknowledges only the leadership of the Christ within. It has no ritual or rule, but the divine, impersonal, universal love. And so you see, there's no ritual or rule. There is no sacrifice. the only rule is impersonal universal love. No other worship than the inner flame that is ever lit at the shrine of spirit. You see, there's no God up in heaven somewhere to worship. No. You think God wants your worship? No, God wants your awareness. God wants you to embrace Him so He can embrace you in an inner communion, in an inner union. Oh, sometimes the experience is so strong, I just say, oh, I love you so much. And I feel as if He's saying, and I love you. And it's wonderful. This union is the free state of spiritual brotherhood. The only restraint is the discipline of soul. Yes, you have to practice these principles for your brother and your sister as well. Therefore, we know liberty without license, you see? We are free without sacrifice, aren't we? We are a united universe without physical limits. Yes, there's no limits to this thing. Once you discover your own inner consciousness is Christ itself. We are a divine service to God without ceremony or creed. You're a service to God because you're a transparency for that grace to flow. There's no sacrifice. There's no ceremony or creed. The illumined walk without fear. They live by grace. So, that was in the very front of Every Infinite Way book, and that is exactly what we're doing. We're becoming the illumined. That is, the light is hitting your consciousness and mine, and it is saying, hey, let go of this old belief. You don't need it anymore. Come within. And it is saying to you, right now, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you the kingdom. I will give you all that I have. You see? It's a giving. It's free. It's an unmerited divine act of regeneration. It's an act of divine compassion. It's love by any other name. So guess what? John was right. God is love. And love says unto you, no more sacrifice, no more pain, no more struggle. Set your brother free, set your sister free, set that dictator free, and set yourself free. Come within and receive my many blessings. Okay? I love you. God loves you, and I hope that you come into this sense of independence. And thank you.